Welcome to Not That Girl Anymore, part of the Liminal Network. I'm your host, Dawn Bouillon. This is more than a podcast. It's a sisterhood. We're reclaiming our voices, our worth, and our lives, one story, one truth, one brave step at a time. Hey, friends, before we get started, just a quick note. This episode includes real stories and conversations about trauma, abuse, and healing. Please listen with care and take breaks if you need to. These stories are shared with full consent and reflect each guest's lived experience. They're told for the purpose of truth-telling, awareness, and healing, never to shame, blame, or attack anyone. If something in this episode brings up hard emotions for you, I encourage you to reach out for support. You don't have to carry it alone. Hey, friends. Welcome back to Not That Girl Anymore. I'm your host, Dawn Bouillon, trauma therapist and coach, and the founder here of Embrace Your Brave. If you've been journeying with us through Ashley's story, you already know how powerful it is and how brave this woman is. In parts one and two, we walk through the deep heartbreak, the silence, and the courage it takes to speak out and tell the truth. Today in part three, we step into the other side of that story, the becoming, the rebuilding, the reclaiming. Ashley opens up about what healing has really looked like, the hard, the holy, the everyday work of learning to feel again, to trust her body, to speak her truth, and to believe she's worthy of peace. If you haven't listened yet to part one and part two, I highly recommend you go back and do them first, because you'll just feel the full weight and beauty of this story when you hear it in sequence. So this episode is tender, it's raw, it's real, and it's a glimpse into what it means to rise up and live as someone who knows her worth. So take a deep breath, find your safe space, and settle in. Here's part three of Ashley's story. But that was what got you into therapy, just like the stress from all that?
I was just so exhausted and just depressed. I'd started, you know, anxiety medication because I had so much anxiety. It just makes you feel helpless, you know, so hopeless.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's when I started seeing Dawn. We started to kind of unpack some of that. And then we started to unpack some stuff with my marriage that was going on too. And that really opened my eyes. And, you know, I started to realize that my needs mattered, like that I mattered, that I like didn't have to take on this caretaker role. For this too, you know, that'd be the only role that I took on. Like as a mom, you are a caretaker, but that's not the only role I get to take on. I also get to have needs. I also get to have wants. I also get to do my own thing and I don't have to feel bad about it. And I can stand up for myself. And, you know, when you grow up in the church too, you kind of learn, especially watching my parents, like that the wife is, you know, down here and the husband's up here in the sky and you know,
in the sky,
you submit, you know, you just do all the things you're supposed to do. You be a good wife and that's your existence. And so I think for a long time, I just said yes, you know, to like kind of everything. Cause I felt like I just had to, I just felt like I couldn't and not my, it wasn't necessarily my husband's fault. It was just like my conditioning, you know, like this is who you are. This is how you show up in the world. And so we went on a long journey of just deconstructing my faith, deconstructing who I was supposed to be as a wife, as a mom, that I was allowed to show up with needs too, that I was allowed to set boundaries. And that boundaries are beautiful and wonderful, and they are just like a saving grace.
Yes.
And just, you know, it's like they say boundaries without empathy I mean, empathy without boundaries are dangerous.
Yeah.
Like, you can't just have empathy without boundaries.
That's right.
And I've learned that in so many different areas of my life since I've started this healing journey.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's been like almost 3 years now.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a minute, but I've learned so much about just the people that I let in my circle and just protecting that, like making sure, like if somebody is passive aggressive,
mm-hmm.
if somebody is just like hurtful, or they're just demeaning, or they're just, you know, whatever, or they just don't sit right with me, they don't get me, they don't foster, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, they crush your spirit. Like the spirit crushers.
Yeah.
I throw them out.
Right. The ones that are blowing out your light.
Yes. Those people, like, I've learned that those people get the least amount of my time, the mm-hmm. least amount of my energy, the least amount of me. And I've learned to not care about what these people think. Cause that was something too. I was so afraid of being a bad girl, a bad mm-hmm. Christian, you know, being mean or whatever, you know,
yeah.
And just kind of settled. And I'm like, you know, I'm okay. If these mm-hmm. people think I'm mean, if they think I'm bad, if they think I'm a bad Christian or whatever, like, that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's okay with me. And that was something that it used to control me. It used to make me people please. It used to make me just like want to prove to these people that I was a good person, that I was loving, that I was kind. And I'm like, it's wasted. It's wasted energy, because these people are, they're not seeing me. They're projecting onto me their own insecurities, their own flaws. And they're incapable of loving me in the way that I need, because they can't love themselves.
When you make that distinction, that helps.
It does. Because that's kind of where I'm at now too, is I'm in a phase of my life where I'm like, I'm protecting my peace. Mm-hmm. I'm protecting my healing. And if people want to come with me, that's great. If they don't, that's great.
You know,
I'm okay with that. And I can set whatever boundaries I need in place to protect this healing and protect what I'm creating right now in myself and in my life as much as I need to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, oftentimes it takes some type of crisis to get our ass on the couch,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
But then once we're on the couch, it's like, okay, it's your turn. It's your turn to matter.
Mm-hmm.
And then we realize, like, the thing that got us on the couch isn't necessarily really... It's not really the issue, you know?
Yeah.
And I found with so many women, like you were saying earlier, when I ask women that finally get that moment where they are thinking about themselves, and I say, tell me how you're feeling. Or I'll say, so tell me, like, who are you? And I find, like, so many of us are just like, I have no earthly idea.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just kind of start that process. And that is the process of therapy, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of that self-discovery, is that you starting to understand yourself in the context of your story.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I find that a lot of people don't even realize that that's what therapy is. What was your thoughts about therapy before you started therapy?
I thought therapy was for crazy people.
Honest, right?
Yeah, honestly, I grew up thinking that people went to therapy, they had like serious mental issues, like mental health issues.
Mm.
And I just knew that if I didn't go to therapy, I would have serious mental health issues.
Right?
You're like, I don't deal with this now. It's going to become, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought crazy people did it. And I didn't know that it was just everyday people. And yeah, what you go in for is usually you end up discovering a lot more. Because I went in for Levi and, you know, my son who has EOE, and I discovered so much more. You know, I feel like I barely even talked about Levi, you know?
Right.
so much. I feel like whenever you go to someone like Dawn, who creates this like safe atmosphere for you to really be able to be honest with yourself. Because that's the thing. I feel like there are so many people who are just like, oh, I don't need therapy. You know, I don't need help.
Okay, so I know it was what you were experiencing with your son that got you into therapy. What were some of your symptoms, Ash, that you were like, I've got to get help? What was going on?
I was having a hard time sleeping at night. I remember just laying in bed and I'd be so anxious. I could feel the muscles down my whole back would just be like in just so much pain. And I would have like dizziness, like these really bad dizzy spells. I would go to the doctor for it and they'd be like, yeah, it's just like vertigo, like you'll be fine. And I'd get migraines and my TMJ was really bad and my jaw would lock up. And I was just, it was just hard for me to even get out of bed and start the day. It was so overwhelming, everything that was going on. And I felt like, you know, at the time I didn't have much of a support system. You know, my family, growing up in the family that we grew up in, we don't really talk about hard stuff. They might every once in a while have asked me how Levi was doing, but nobody was like there being like, wow, like that's really hard. Like, I'm so sorry you're going through that. It was more so like, oh, okay. And then we move on to the next topic kind of thing. So it was like nobody, I felt like nobody was really there with me in that season. I was just so anxious. And with my marriage too, I just felt like we were so disconnected. He didn't know how to be there for me. He didn't know how to empathize or talk about things. He was not an emotional person. He didn't know what to do when I was overwhelmed or if I was emotional. I didn't quite know what to do with those emotions either.
Yeah.
You know, it was just, I just tried to stuff it. I just tried to stuff it. You know, that's kind of what I grew up doing, was just like stuffing it all down. And I think I just got to the point where there was no room for any more stuffing. You know, my body couldn't take anymore. I had stomach problems too. I was constantly nauseous. I was constantly having trouble eating food or, you know, just feeling, it just felt really, really sick all the time. And my body was just screaming at me and like, help me.
Yes.
You know, and then I tried the anxiety medication and it would just kind of numb me out. And there's nothing wrong with anxiety medication, right? Like, I have friends and family who take it and I think it's an amazing discovery. And I think that there's nothing wrong with it. But yeah, for me, it just did not work. It just made me feel kind of like a zombie and I felt more depressed. And so I was just like, okay, I need to figure out what is going on with me. I need to figure out how to deal with all of the things that I'd been dealing with.
Your body was demanding some attention.
It was.
That shows up in the form of anxiety, right? Because anxiety is just an alarm.
Yeah.
In your body, you know, that's just pointing back to a wounded part of you that's saying, hey, what about me? And when we just kind of throw medicine at it, it might help, you know, it might kind of take the edge off of it.
Yeah.
But we've got to figure out what's underneath that, like what's driving it.
Exactly. Exactly. And I too, like, you know, there are so many stories too, even growing up, that I could say showed up, that little girl that showed up in those moments. You know, I remember being probably 6 or 7 years old and I broke my arm. We were rolling off the back of a couch. All my siblings, we were just kind of taking turns, the little ones. And I had fallen, I rolled off and I fell on my arm and my arm broke. And I remember my parents just like fighting over whether they were going to take me to the doctor or not. Because I think my mom wanted to take me to the doctor and my dad didn't, because my dad was like against like going to the doctor. unless you were basically dead.
A broken arm is not enough.
Nope, it wasn't enough. So I remember them arguing over that. And I remember just like nobody. And that was something too. You said we talked about that in a therapy session. And you were like, nobody was caring for you in that moment. Mm-hmm. Like nobody was wondering how you were doing. You were just sitting there with a broken arm, just watching your parents argue over whether they were going to take you to the doctor or not.
And what's the message you get from that?
Yes. And I think it's part of why I think I've been so like with my kids, if anything is wrong, like I'm going to take care of them. Mm-hmm. Like I'm going to make sure that they are okay. And then I'm learning to do the same for myself, because there's that little girl inside of me that had that broken arm, or, you know, when I had bronchitis or whatever, that is just like needing that care, and that needs to know like, that I care about her, and that she matters, and that she deserves care, and she deserves the love that she never got in those moments too.
Yeah. What are some of the messages that you had to heal from, like looking back on that?
I think being like a scapegoat growing up, I think it made me kind of realize that it's okay to be vulnerable. You know, because that was kind of a reason why, because I was tender. And, you know, if you hurt me, I showed it. And that was something that was even used against me too. I would have siblings that would push me past my limit, and then they would point the finger at me and be like, how crazy you're acting, but not take accountability for any of the stuff that happened before that, you know, that caused me to get to that point. Because I was a very kind person, and I was very patient, more patient than I should have been.
Right. You know? I am messages that come from, especially with the scapegoat, like I'm the problem, or I'm too much, or I'm not enough, or it's my fault.
I'm the problem. You know, and that's something that I even hate saying it out loud, because it like sounds so like whatever. It's such, it is something that I experienced, was that like, you know, I was so afraid because my dad never took accountability. He was never honest with himself, that I took it upon myself to be like, I'm going to take responsibility. I'm going to be the one that does it. And since that was like an ongoing message in my family where, you know, we don't take accountability, we shift the blame, we belittle, we, you know, minimize or whatever. And so I always felt like I had to take accountability. You know? And so I took accountability for so many things.
Everything.
That were never my fault. That never had anything to do with me to begin with. And that's something, even now, I'm still unraveling that in myself. And just like letting people be uncomfortable in the situations that they created. And not comforting them, not taking accountability, not taking it upon myself to fix it.
Yeah.
It just like, you made your bed, you can lay in it. And that is something that can be so hard for me, because I want to just be like, I want to make people feel okay. Or at least I did. You know, I always wanted people to feel okay. I never wanted people to feel the way that I felt. And so I went around over caring for people who really should have never had that from me to begin with. They were abusing me, and then I was going back and comforting them for the abuse that they were giving me.
Yeah. Well, you know, as kids, we have to figure out how to survive. Right. And it sounds like part of your survival was taking care of everybody else.
Yeah.
You know, it was becoming what everyone else needed you to be, you know, out of survival.
Yeah.
And also as kids, you know, when you're in a home where you're not getting what you need, or you're not being seen, kids naturally blame themselves.
Yeah.
Or they also don't necessarily stop loving their parents. They stop loving themselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so You know, and that's what creates that disconnect. The essence of trauma is disconnect from yourself, disconnect from your body, disconnect from your emotions, disconnect from your gut, disconnect from what do you need? So just hearing your story, you had to abandon yourself in order to survive. So kind of what was that process like going back and reconnecting with that little Ashley, that cute little innocent Ashley that just wanted to be seen and known and loved?
Yeah, it was, at first it was very, very overwhelming. Because I was like, you know, I have just stuffed this down for such a long time. I've just pushed this so far down in me because I was so afraid of all the big emotions that I would feel once I started uncovering these things. And so, and that's the thing too I've learned is like when you've experienced trauma like that, you can experience these emotions that can be so overwhelming.
Yeah.
So big. Because we weren't ever meant to experience those things. You know, we weren't built to experience trauma like that.
Yeah.
You know, and so that was the biggest thing, was just like feeling like I couldn't. You know, just feeling like, I don't know how I'm going to do all this. Like, how am I going to go back and kind of relive them in some ways, really let myself feel them this time and let myself be with that girl this time. And I think a big thing that's helped me is having a support system.
Yeah.
Making one, because I didn't have one. But I made one.
Yep, exactly.
I went to every single support group that Dawn had. And now, you know, I have her and a couple of other ladies. They're wonderful friends, and some other friends that are on their healing journeys too. But yeah, that was the hardest part, was just like really recognizing that these are such scary emotions and they can be so overwhelming at times, but that I didn't have to do it all today. I don't have to heal everything right now. Like, and I can love and accept myself while I'm in the process of learning and unlearning and healing and all of those things. Because I think that's another thing too, if I could say, perfectionism was a big family thing. I learned, you know, I had to be perfect, not make mistakes, you know, never cross the line, just kind of figure out the imaginary rules and then follow them, you know, the unspoken rules. And I am learning now that it's okay when I mess up.
You mean you get to be human?
I get to be human. Like, how amazing is that? That shit is awesome. And like, I don't have to perform.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have to perform to be a perfectly healed person either. I'm not broken and my past doesn't define me and all those things, but I'm also in process. I'm still like the loading symbol, because we never arrive, right? Yeah. Like, so, and that's what I'm learning, is like, you don't ever arrive, and there's no magical, you know, church session that heals you from all your childhood trauma. Like I thought,
dang it. It wasn't like a special like button to push.
Yeah, I thought that they'd pray over me at church and I'd have one really big breakthrough, which I've had many of those. And I'd be done forever. And I always wondered, I was like, why am I not healed? Why do I still feel bad? You know, why am I still sad? Why do I still feel emotion even? you know, for these things, why do I just not feel joyful and happy and perfect all the time? And it's just like, oh, it's because I'm human.
Right. We welcome that.
I'm not meant to be a robot.
Yeah. I'm not meant to be perfect, you know, whatever. Like, that's God. That's his job. And he can have that. You know? He never asked me to do that.
Yeah.
You know? And so I think too, like, even, you know, discovering all those things about, like, self-discovery and about myself and about religion and about God, like, that is holy work. Like, it really is. That shit is holy work.
It is. You're right. It's deep, you know? So how has your view of yourself shifted through this healing therapy process? Like, your view of Ashley?
I feel like I have finally been able to really, like, see myself and know myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, growing up in my family too, I feel like I accepted a lot of what people would tell about me. Like, all the negative things they would say about me, I'd be like, oh, I don't really know myself. So I guess that's true.
You know? Right.
And now I can wholeheartedly say, like, somebody says something about me, I'm like, that's not true. Like, that's not me. Like, I don't know who that is, but it's not me. I can accept the things that are true about me. You know, that I'm not perfect and that I have flaws and that I'm not perfect. But if you're being mean about it, I don't have to take that on. Because we're choosing compassion.
Yes. And that's it.
Like, we're choosing compassion to those pieces of myself. So if you want to have an honest conversation and be kind about it and bring it up to me and say, hey, it hurts me when you do this, that's fantastic. If you want to say, hey, you're a bad person and blah, 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 and put me down, no.
Mm-mm. That's what we call a boundary.
Mm-hmm.
Our little hell no girl comes out and she's like, hell no. Hell no. You don't talk to Ashley like that.
Uh-uh. No, ma'am.
It's so good. And, you know, recovery is for life.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about that.
Yeah.
But when you recognize that recovery is about wholeness, right? It's about reconnecting. Then every day and every experience is a new opportunity to love that girl.
Yeah.
To get to know her better, to see her, know her, and continue to bring her home. So anxiety and all that doesn't have to be this big, scary thing when it's really just her saying, hey, what about me?
Yeah.
I'm needing some extra care today. I'm needing some extra love today. And she needs it from you.
Yeah.
And then it's every day. How do we wake up and learn to love Ashley today?
Mm-hmm.
It kind of makes life a little bit more exciting, too. Like, you're kind of looking forward to it.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, I can ask for support.
Yeah.
I can get support. Like, that's a whole other form of love, too. I feel like, you know, me choosing to go to therapy, that was loving myself. Because I was like, I need support. I need someone to help me. And that's something I grew up kind of believing, very hyper independent.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very independent. I was like, I don't need a man, you know?
Right?
I don't need nobody. And that's a really beautiful thing. But when it's taken too far to the point where you're like, I don't need nobody ever at all, and I can do it all by myself, it's just like, it can be so draining and leave you so empty. And just, I mean, loving yourself, like I said, loving yourself is just like accepting love from other people too. Letting other people love you. Like, not just loving yourself, but letting other people love you. And that's kind of what therapy has been for me too. Is like letting other people speak into my life, letting other people point out things in my life, but also letting them love me and letting them help me and give me the support that I need to, you know, get through this season or whatever it is.
You've mentioned a few times, Ash, about support and community and having safe relationships. Like, talk a little bit more about what that's meant to you and kind of the role that's played for you in your healing journey.
That's been huge. Huge for me. I think just learning about, you know, toxic relationships and learning about toxic people helped me to kind of eliminate or give less time to people who have those characteristics.
Yeah.
You know, and then it's also helped me to give more time and give more of myself to people who are good and who are here for me and who are really rooting for me. I think a support system is something you have to create. I don't think most people are born with one.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people, yeah, they're just not born with a supportive family system or a family that really knows how to support each other. And so that's been something, and just learning about who's there, you know, who's not, and who's good for me, and listening to those instincts of, you know, who do I feel good around?
Mm-hmm.
Who do I feel the most authentic around? Who do I feel the most joyful or just myself, relaxed, at ease? And who makes me just feel not good? Who makes me feel judged, you know, or who's just like always critical, or, you know, people who are always just like nitpicking, or they care about things that you're just like, that doesn't matter, you know, like just learning those things and just letting those people in, letting those good people in.
Yeah.
That's something that I didn't do for a long time because I don't think I thought I deserved good people. You know, I always was just like, well, my role is the caretaker, and I didn't know how to assume good people. Same love that I was giving to everybody else, I didn't know how to receive it for myself. And so that's been a big part of this journey, is just letting people love me too. Letting good people get to know me. And it might take a while, you know, for some, like it takes me a while to really open up to people. And like, but the people that stay and give me that time to let me slowly open myself up to them, like those are my people.
Those are my people.
Yes. Like those are the real ones. And yeah, like I said earlier, it's so healing once you let people love you. It's so painful too, because you realize that you haven't gotten this, you know, and that you deserved it. It can be really, really hard, even with my in-laws, because they are just super supportive of us and they help us out so much. They're really amazing grandparents and they love our grandkids. I've never experienced grandparents who want to be involved, and they don't do it perfectly, you know, they're not perfect people, but they genuinely care about our kids. They are amazing grandparents. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, even to be able to experience that, sometimes I'll even cry.
Yeah. Thanks for loving me.
Yeah, I'm like, I mean, if you can love my kids and you can just be, I mean, that just means the world to me.
Oh, absolutely. As a mama, there's nothing better, you know? So learning how to receive. I had a professor say before, we're wounded in relationship. We're also healed in relationship.
Yeah. And that's even more so why you should be so careful in the relationships that you keep when you're healing. Because they can either hinder your healing or they can foster that healing.
Yeah. 1,000%.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have those good boundaries in place, right, where we don't let those life-sucking people take up so much space in your life, opens up more space for the people that are coming in to love the shit out of you.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. That's why boundaries are so important, right?
Yeah.
It's another reason that boundaries are good.
Yeah. Yeah.
And boundaries are learning how to love ourselves and other people at the same time versus loving other people at our expense.
Mm-hmm.
That becomes a normal part of life in recovery and connection. And a normal part of recovery that we don't always realize when we first sit on the couch is that we will end up reevaluating all the relationships, all the different relationships in our life.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing, do they fit with this person that I'm becoming?
Yeah. And that can be, what did you say?
Just like what you were saying.
Yeah. And that can be the scariest part. That was one of the scariest parts, is I was like, I'm gonna lose all of these relationships. And all of these relationships that I was just like so attached to. You know, it was just an attachment, really, because now that those relationships are not in my life, I'm like, nothing has changed, oddly. Like, they still know the same amount about me. They're still like, you know, there's n really nothing has changed. And it's made me realize too, I'm like, those people that I have, you know, distanced myself from and, you know, are cut out or whatever, they never really knew me, which just is, there's a sadness to that. You know,
Absolutely.
it's like, wow, they never got to know me.
Yeah, the grieving of that. And
Yeah.
boy did they miss out on you in
Thank
life.
you, God. I agree.
Yes, it's the truth.
Yes.
It is
But
the
it's
truth.
also, I think there are so many people too that are so scared to cut off relationships, you know, or to distance themselves or set boundaries because they're afraid of losing relationships. But it's like it comes at such a great cost. And that's a cost that I'm no longer willing to pay.
Right. The cost of losing you, right?
And just like you said, it frees up your space, your time, your energy for life-giving friendships and relationships that supersede anything that you could have ever even imagined to have in those relationships.
It's true. That's awesome. I mean, maybe we've touched on this a little bit, but what do you feel like has surprised you the most about the healing process?
Well, one of them would definitely be that healing is not a one-time thing. And we talked about that earlier. We touched on that. You know, that it's for life. And that it's a gradual process. And I think another one would be that emotions, bad ones, quote unquote, bad ones, can be actually a good thing. Like,
Right.
can actually
A
be a
very
good
good thing.
thing. It's something I've realized too, like over the course of my healing journey, is like the more that I can tap into the bad emotions, the more I can tap into the good ones too. I remember just feeling so numb for a long time because I was so shut off from my emotions. But what I didn't realize, and a lot of people don't realize, is that when you shut yourself off from your bad emotions, you're also shutting yourself off from the good ones as well. And we wonder why we get depressed. You know, we wonder why we feel depressed or numb, or we feel just like empty, or we just feel alone. And it's like because we're disconnected from ourselves.
Absolutely.
We're disconnected from all the pain, all the anxiety, all the stress, all of the trauma, or whatever it is that we've gone through in our lives. And it can be so scary to try to tap into those things, especially if you've been through a lot. But at the same time, it's like if you can tap into that, you can start tapping into the joy, start tapping into the creativity, you can start tapping into the expression, the expressiveness, the beautiful, just the creativity and the joy and the silliness. Like, I remember for a long time, I couldn't be silly anymore. I miss laughing. I missed looking around, just being silly, being carefree. And I've realized the more I tap into those painful memories, the more deeply I can tap into that joyful, carefree, creative, beautiful part, you know, which they're both beautiful. Because who likes, you know, if you think about it, it's like, who really likes a toxic positivity? Nobody wants that. Nobody wants someone who's like joyful and they can't experience any bad emotions and they, you know, are just like la dee dee dee, like you just want to punch them in the throat.
Yeah, because it's not real.
No, it's not. And so, yeah, just being able to tap into both arenas and just being like, they're both good. They're both valuable, not just the joy, not just the creativity, but also the sadness, the pain, the trauma, the real nitty gritty, deep shit down in there that you stuffed, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've seen Ashley let loose and let the, with the dance parties and the,
Yes, I do love dancing.
I love that. I love that, you know, your healing and your freedom has just released you to just be free, be you, like just be. And, you know, I tell my clients all the time, like, all of it's welcome. Every emotion, all of it. And that might mean we're crying on the bathroom floor at one point, you know, even like we've cried some today as we've thought about your little girl, you know. Yeah. And then the next minute we might be dancing in the kitchen and in the car. We like car dancing, right? Yeah. And we just celebrate every bit of it, like all of it, because it all matters.
Yes.
And it's all part of being alive and connected.
Yeah.
You know? Yep.
And that's a beautiful, beautiful thing because, you know, when I was in high school, that was something I did a lot. We'd have dance car parties. And so for me to be able to reconnect back with that little teenager, Ashley, who used to have dance parties in the car, and I now can have dance parties in the car with my friends. It's a whole area of healing that people don't even realize that can be so healing to be able to reconnect back to that with your safe people.
Yeah. So beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So beautiful. So I know like you're an artist and like super, super talented. And how has your art and creativity been like part of your healing?
Yeah, so I think a big part of it has been just letting go of the perfectionist. Just letting go, because that's when I make the best art. I make the best, I mean, I could have the best painting when I am just like not trying to make it look perfect, not trying to make it look whatever. I'm just kind of like flowing in it, you know, just kind of doing it. And so that's been a huge just freedom that I've been able to express in my art, that I can just do it and just kind of allow myself to, you know, make mistakes, or allow myself to even every once in a while just make a crappy painting. And then I'm like, oh, I hate that painting. It's fine. So not every single one of your paintings or art is going to be so amazing. And sometimes I'm just learning. You know, I learned something from that painting. So I think it's just being okay with expressing yourself and it not having to look perfect every single time, but just being able to express myself and being able to just do the things I love, because I've always loved art. I've always loved design, a good eye for those things. And so I think just being able to experience that in my art is just kind of like trusting that inner, like that I do have a good eye for things, and I can kind of tweak things and how I want it to look and figuring out how to do that. And just letting go of perfectionism, letting go or feeling like everything has to be a certain way. Just kind of letting it be whatever it turns out to be.
It sounds so healing. And you create masterpieces, by the way. Like, I am very impressed.
Thank you.
I'm like, baby, that is some talent. I hope you know that not all of us can do anything even remotely like that.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that so much. I'm excited to continue with my art and just to kind of see where it goes. I feel like it changes, you know, as I learn and as I grow, it's just constantly changing and constantly growing. And I think it's just been really fun to learn.
That's awesome. Oh, man. So we kind of touched on this a little bit, but I mean, Ash, you have been through some shit. I mean, you have been through it, right?
Yeah.
And I'm just amazed by you every time I sit with you, every time I hear more and more of your story, you know, What is it that you wish more people knew or more people understood? Like, because you are just like a wealth of knowledge now, but you didn't know so much back then, you know?
Yeah.
What do you wish more people knew?
I'll start with this, and I think maybe it'll turn into something else, but
Yeah.
I think I would say that religion is what you make it. Like God and your religion can be unique to you. I think in our, Christian Americanized view of things, we kind of feel like there's one right way, and if you're not toeing the line, then you're not in. And it's like an in or out kind of thing. And I feel like God gives us the freedom to choose for ourselves what's right for us. And I don't think he's as judgmental as we think he is.
Yes, that would be a negative.
Yeah, like I think even if, like Shane Willard, his teachings, he talks about like how our view of God evolved throughout the Bible. Like God didn't change, but our view of God changed. And to the final viewing, which would be Jesus's view of God in the Bible. And I think if we really look at Jesus and we really look at who he was as a person, how he felt, how he treated people, the grace that he chose to give to people, and how he was just like not about the bullshit. Like he was like not about the fakeness. He was not about the appearances. He was all about the heart. That same God is the same God that lives today. And I think he lets us choose, he lets us have the freedom to be able to experience and be able to figure out what that looks like for us. And I would say another thing would be, if somebody has experienced something similar to my experience, or if you felt the way that I felt, I would say, educate yourself. Education is so powerful. If you can educate yourself, you can no longer be caught in the cycle. So that's what stopped me from continuing the cycle, was I educated myself, I got support, and I was like, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not gonna follow this cycle anymore. I see this happening here. I've noticed this. Can you tell me more about this? And they'll help you discover all of the things that, or maybe you can't see yourself. Because I think with conditioning, growing up a certain way, you kind of think things are normal. That, the way that your parents talked to you was normal. You think that the abuse was normal. You think that, vice, whatever, all the things. And you don't fully realize how much those things have impacted you until sometimes it's too late, or sometimes you're like on the brink. Therapy is for everyone. Everyone, both me and my husband are both in therapy, and we have a marriage therapist as well. And it has been life changing, changing. And, I don't know that we would have made it 2 years ago without all of the help and support that we've gotten, and without, just being able to have honest conversations and being able to be honest about where we were. I don't know. That's a hard question.
And it's loaded, right? It is a lot.
There's so much that I could say about all of those things. I can make five more podcasts about them.
Anyone that's kind of hearing your story and maybe relating to you and like starting to put some pieces together, you know, what's your message to them? I mean, I know you've said go to therapy, right?
Yeah.
You're worth it. Yeah, but just if you had, you know, I guarantee you there's people listening to this right now, Ash, that experience.
Yeah.
If you got to look them in the eye and say something to them, what would you say?
Yeah, I think I would say your story matters. Like you say, you matter. And I think I would say, it's okay to not have it all together. It's okay to not figure it all out by yourself.
Yeah.
It's okay to need help, to need support. There's nothing wrong with that. And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Once you step into that and you allow yourself to experience that support and that love and that care, it can be so transformative on your whole life.
Yeah, that's beautiful, Ash. And you are such an example of that. Ashley, I know your healing has meant so much to you that now you want to be a part of helping other women, right? What inspired you to want to help other women heal?
Well, I had to do it all by myself. And like I had to just kind of figure everything out, you know, and kind of just white knuckle my way through life. It's made me want to be in a place where I can really help other women know that they're not alone. They don't have to do it alone, and that they don't have to continue, you know, the path that they've been given. They don't have to continue the same patterns that their family were passed down to them from their families. Just being able to experience that for myself, being able to experience that empathy, that compassion, just like being able to learn more about myself, just being able to learn more in self-awareness makes me want to just help other women do the same and just grow in self-awareness and help them to just be compassionate towards themselves, be compassionate towards that little girl, be compassionate towards who they are today, and help them just to reconnect back those dots of what's happening right now in their lives and what does that have to do with your childhood growing up or your teenage years or, you know, your young adult or any traumatic events that have happened. That's been huge for me. And so I think being able to help as a therapist would help women and men to come just to be able to be honest and be self-reflective and vulnerable and creating that same safe place that I was given. I want to give that same safe place to others, something that they may not experience anywhere else in their life. I just want to make sure I want to create that in my, you know, in my business and in my, even in my art, you know, not just as a one day therapist, but even in my art to be able to give people that freedom. And then that's like, you know, or just the freedom to have creative expression or just to be able to just feel something or, you know, just to be able to see something beautiful and, you know, whatever that looks like. There's so many ways that I want to be able to help people, you know, as a therapist and also as an artist.
Wow. That's beautiful, Ash. I mean, I can so relate to that. I mean, when you really experience healing and you really experience and feel like you matter and you believe in healing, you want to give it away, you know, you want everyone else to experience it. You want to be a part of that. And it's just so beautiful. You are going to be amazing at that. You have this healing presence, like just being around you, the way that you care, you know, the way that you talk, the way that you gently listen and carefully share. It's just like, you have a gift for this. So you're definitely going to pursue this. I'm affirming this.
Yeah.
I'm super excited about that for you, because you're going to help a lot of people.
I am. Yeah. I'm very excited. I'm looking forward to being able to lead in that capacity too. Being able to show up in that way. And knowing that my healing is going to be helping other people heal, see themselves, know themselves.
And you're already doing it, sis. You're already doing it. So my next question is, what are you excited about So is there anything else you're excited about, or are we excited about what?
Yeah, so I'm excited. I am going to be selling art very soon. It's been something that I've been kind of quietly working in the background with my art and just doing more and more of that. And then I'm going to continue working towards building the business so that we can open up a firm one day or something with mental health and also being able to help other people. So I'm really, really excited about that. It's all kind of in the works. We're not something that I'm announcing or anything like that yet.
Yeah.
But I am really excited about both of those things and just to be able to show up in those aspects of my life and just kind of lead something and create something and really make it what I want and make it something really beautiful. And yeah, I'm just really excited about that.
I love that. And I can sense that excitement. Mm-hmm. You know, my heart as a therapist and as I'm helping people heal, it's like, I don't just want you to heal. I want you to thrive. I want you to live. I want you to dream again, you know? So just hearing you opening up yourself to the dream, it's so unique to Ashley and so unique to your passion and your love and your, you know, how you want to uniquely be a part of healing in this world. It just so beautiful and just makes me so happy to hear you and just see you step out into that because gosh, like, do you see how far you've come?
Mm-hmm.
Do you see like the miracle of you? Do you see?
I would have never, if you would have told me that I was doing this 5 years ago, I would have been like, that's not me. You got the one girl all night.
Right.
You know, and now it's like, it's such a beautiful thing because I'm like, I want to create something. Like, and there's, the world needs it. The world needs more people like me to step out into leadership and to create things and make things.
Yes. Yes. And we need that, right? The more people that are healing and healing the world. Well, I like to say heal women, heal the world. And you're such an example of that. I mean, you know, you heal the woman, they're going to help heal their kids.
Uh-huh.
They're going to help heal their friends.
Their marriage, everything.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's so true.
And you make the world a better place. Like, it's so awesome. So, you know, our podcast is called Not That Girl Anymore, and you are quite not that girl anymore. But when do you hear that phrase, you know, or like, what does that mean to you?
Wow. I mean, if I could look back and see me 4 years ago or before I started therapy, before I started this journey, I mean, she had this fire inside of her, but it was just so stuffed down.
Yeah.
You know, and I can say that that fire is alive and burning today. I'm just not at all the same person that I was before. And I think I'm more connected, more authentically me, more genuine, more healed, more everything, and just connected to myself, knowing myself than I've ever been. And once you get there, it's like you don't want to settle for any of the stuff that you settled for before. You just don't. You can't. You just can't. Like, you wouldn't even try, but you still, you can't. Like, no.
It's and so true.
I think that's what it would mean for me. It's just like, that's not me anymore. It never really was me. I think it's just being authentic and being just really truly connected and grounded.
So beautiful. Well, Ashley, I know that people have just fallen in love with you today, just like all of us did, just like anybody does when they get to actually know you. So if people wanted to find you, where could they find you?
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram at Ashley Nicole Woodard, Facebook, Ashley Woodard.
So, oh my goodness, Ashley, you are amazing. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us today and your heart with us and your excitement, your healing, your courage, your creativity, your compassion, just all of the beautiful things about you. You've reminded us that healing is possible.
Mm-hmm.
You've reminded us that we are not defined by what we go through.
Mm-hmm.
And I just know you have encouraged so many women today through your bravery and courage and authenticity and vulnerability. And I know a lot of women probably saw themselves in your story today. So thank you for the gift of you and giving us that gift of letting us know you today through this podcast. So to every woman out there listening, I hope that Ashley's words remind you that you are not alone, that you can step into your own healing, you can step into your own dream, and always remember this. You matter, your story matters, your voice matters, your pain matters, your dreams matter, and you're not that girl anymore. Hey friend, just a quick note. I am a licensed therapist, but this podcast isn't therapy. It's not meant to diagnose or treat anything. It's here to offer you support, encouragement, and real conversation. If you're struggling, please reach out to a trusted professional. You are not alone, and you are so worthy of healing. Even if your voice shakes, keep using it. Your healing matters. If you're ready to go deeper, you can book a session by clicking the link in the show notes or visiting our website, embraceyourbrave.org. to learn more about our therapy and trauma-informed coaching options. Let's explore how we can walk this journey together. You are not alone. Embrace your brave, sis. You're not that girl anymore.